Lewis, Southover, Ringmer, Bellingham, Southeast, Kingston, and the surrounding area. This is Steve Pilfold on Rocket FM.
Good afternoon to you all, and in the studio with me is Eugene from Big Brother.
Oh, hello.
Hello there, how are you?
I'm very well.
Now, anybody that's been listening to the show will have heard your anecdotes and general musings on things such as traffic wardens in the last week.
That's right, traffic wardens who get given initiatives to book as many tickets as they can.
Yes.
I wonder what they're doing today.
Exactly. So, welcome to the proper interview part that we said that we'd give you about Big Brother and everything like that. Now, for anybody that isn't aware of who Eugene is, and there can't be that many of you left, Eugene was on Big Brother. You went in 4 weeks in. Is that correct?
That's right, I went in 4 weeks, yes. Obviously I wasn't good enough to go on the whole series.
Into the Big Brother house, or into the Secret Garden to start with. And that's where you spent the next 7 weeks.
That's right, yeah. I mean, to anyone who's not watched the programme, basically it's supposed to be a quiz show. Well, it's not a quiz show, a game show. And it's basically a load of people about... I think at any one point when we were there, it was 13 people locked up in a house together, having to get on or not get on with each other. And some people got on better with others than others did.
Yes, so, I mean, you were in there. Now, when you came out, obviously, for those of you that don't know, I've known Eugene for quite a long time. You came out, and you found that the whole Big Brother experience, I think, was different to how it is on the telly, because, of course, you don't get to see the edited highlights.
No, that's right. I, in fact, hadn't seen any of it until I came back and then started seeing what had been going on whilst me and another character, Derek, were going to sleep regularly. We used to go to sleep at 10 o'clock, get up at 10 o'clock, most 12 hours, half the day gone, and you'd find that in the evening after we'd disappeared, all the fun stuff started to knock off.
And what did you find that shocked you the most when you came out?
Well, one of the people was a person called Craig, who I got on okay with, but I found he didn't seem to relate very well to me. Turns out he absolutely hated my guts and was having lots and lots of dialogue with his friend Anthony about me.
Yes, I think anybody that saw that would have... been fairly sort of, well, I don't know, I think it was fairly shocking for everybody the night that they just sat there and Craig was on about how you and Derek were out to destroy him.
That's right, I think what surprised me most was that one of the parts of the programme is that you're given some limitations, such as you're given a food budget each week, and, you know, things like toilet rolls, tea bags. They could be, because they're put down the bottom of the list, especially when Anthony was in charge, they could be something you run out of. And I drink a lot of tea, and I don't drink much alcohol. And so I used to be quite sparing with the tea bags, and other people didn't. So what I tended to do is I tended to use one tea bag for two or three cups, and make people cups of tea, especially this other person, Anthony. Turns out that Craig didn't like this. And the phrase, Anthony, Eugene doesn't make you cups of tea, I do. And Anthony, Eugene doesn't say your buttons on, I say your buttons on. Why not standing up for me? Were mentioned.
Okay, so the whole Craig thing, that was on a bit of a different level. But of course there was one particular evening when Anthony may or may not have been wearing a wetsuit, when things did get slightly out of control and Big Brother asks you, entirely possible that there could have been some inappropriate behaviour, definitely from Craig.
Well, there was a point at which I did drop a glass of water off to Anthony and Craig had his hand somewhere it shouldn't have been.
Right, I think that one clears that up. There's a lot of people have been asking that question. Eugene's going to be here until 1 o'clock, by the way, so if you do want to ask Eugene any specific question, you can email us studio@rocketfm.org.uk. We're going to take a break from music in a couple of moments. One thing I will ask is, the last week, how difficult was that?
It was very difficult because I was very good friends with this person, Derek, someone who was very academic. He was a speechwriter for the for virtually everybody who's in politics. And he was quite posh, and he was quite posh, but very, very down to earth. And we got on very well, but the mechanic of Macosi, Craig and Anthony was such that they worked out a way of getting me and Derek to be put up for eviction, so one of us had to go, and unfortunately it was Derek that was voted off. And then they decided to blank me for the first 3 days. Needless to say, I had the last laugh, though, when I was offered half the prize money and took it.
Okie dokie. Well, we'll be asking you about your decision with the prize money and what you've been doing after Big Brother. That's coming up in a couple of moments here on 87.8 Rocket FM. 8 Rocket FM, Lewis. We've got Eugene from Big Brother with us today. Good morning, Eugene.
Hello.
It's the afternoon now, isn't it? It's all getting a bit out of control.
Well, of course, it depends whether you're using GMT or British Summertime, though, doesn't it?
Well, otherwise it'd be 1:30. Is that what you mean?
That's right. Yeah. Ah, but we're not in British Summertime, so it really is the afternoon.
It really is the afternoon. Now, we were discussing last now your last week. You had Kinga there with you.
That's right, yes.
Now, it did appear to most people that she could be one of two things, either very nice or very annoying.
I think she was both. She was annoying, but in a nice kind of way. Though she does have quite a subjective sense of humour. Obviously, I don't. And subsequently, you know, that was a little bit difficult because she was trying to lower the tone of the show. And certainly myself and Derek, we saw Big Brother as a very academic show, something to talk about philosophy. Though I think a lot of other people, especially the likes of Mikosi and Craig, felt it was a way of talking about celebrities, Jennifer Lopez, and which mic up to use.
Yes, we did spot that. So you went in there on the Wednesday night. Will a housemate please come to the diary room?
That's right. And I was in quite a bad mood there, because that week, as I said, my best friend Derek had disappeared. And most of the people were not being very chatty with me. Well, certainly they weren't on the same level as me. They weren't talking about science. You're getting me. And so I thought, well, look, I'm having a bad day. Nobody else can be bothered. I'll go in there. When you actually look back at it, it only was about a period of 1.5 to 2 seconds, but it felt like an eternity. And so I went into the diary room because no one else wanted to, because they thought it would be an eviction. Because earlier that evening there had been an eviction. And I went in there, and as I opened the door, I saw the old suitcase with money prop. No doubt all photocopied money and highly illegal.
So then what went through your mind?
What went through my mind was, oh, I'm going to have to make a decision. That's just another pain. So, of course, I went in there, and then they said, oh, yes, Eugene, in front of you is £50,000. You have a choice to either take it or not take it. Basically, they stretched it out a bit, but that was basically it. And you have 1 minute to decide. But initially, when I sat down, I said, oh, looks like I made a schoolboy error. And there was a very long gap before they said this. And the reason was because they were telling everybody back at home something else.
Indeed. So we all knew that if you didn't take it, the prize money would go up to £200,000. Now, some people said at the time that lost you the show, but I think fairly soon after that, everybody sort of realised that that wasn't really the case at all.
No, in fact, it was just done as a Bax transfer.
Well, yes. no, everybody said that that lost you the show and, you know, you wouldn't win from there. But then, sort of, I suppose within 24 hours, everybody realised, well, you know, given the choice, do you take £50,000 or do you not take £50,000? Well, there only is one answer, isn't there?
Well, I think the problem is that I'm talking like a posh politician, hello. I think the thing is that I didn't realise how popular I was. I thought that, unlike some people in there, like Mikosi, I thought the reason I'd got to the last week was purely simply because other people had their own issues to settle and I'd not been noticed
the
and
old
got there.
The old flying under the radar trick.
That's right, the old flying under the radar. And so I didn't perceive that I was quite so popular. So I thought, well, I'm the only one who had to give up their job. Mikosi hadn't. She took a sabbatical. So I thought I'd take it. And it probably did cost me. But what was interesting was in that last day, I think myself and Anthony were overtaking each other. I would have looked a fool, though, if I hadn't taken it.
Yes, I think from what I heard, everybody was shouting, take the money, take the money, take the money. Now, there was plenty of other stuff that went on in the house, and I'm going to just whiz through a couple of things. The old science trick.
You're getting me.
Yes, science, the game show participant that was in there with you, rather than the subject.
That's right, yes, I got on very well with him. He did have a couple of odd ways of looking at things. He was a little bit, sometimes a little bit over-philosophical. But I got on quite well with him. I found him one of the far more colourful characters in the house. And the only problem is he was also one who liked to give as much as he got and also liked to be quite opinionated. And unfortunately, people did wind him up early, wind him up a lot. And I think this did him a little bit of damage because he responded to it.
And the week that Science was evicted, you were seen to be almost something you hadn't done and you didn't really do after, was being in the old bitch club.
That's right. Well, I think the problem Science did was, and I say he did it himself, he actually did it with great help from others, including, I'm afraid, Derek to an extent, but again, Derek also gives as well as he gets. And that is that Science was getting to the point where I think he'd had enough of the show because of the bullying he'd been receiving, and so was making it difficult for everybody else, quite rightfully. Unfortunately, it ended up with me being always in the middle, and I was always getting him have a go at me for associating with Derek, Derek having a go at me for associating with Science, and unfortunately Science did do a couple of things inappropriate, such as being quite vocal about Craig's sexuality. Funnily enough, actually, thinking about it, he was probably completely right, seeing as Craig really was worthy of kicking out.
Okie dokie. So since you've been in the Big Brother house, it's been fairly non-stop for you, especially during the first month. What sort of things have you enjoyed doing, and what are the absolute hell moments of being somebody coming out of the Big Brother house?
One of the hell moments is that I've had not had my air conditioning fixed for the past 3 or 4 months. Hell hot.
Oh, very good.
The old verbal reality there. It's on the whole, it's been very good. I've discovered that logistics is an interesting one. You see, I consider myself to be very good with logistics. I mean, I could easily plan a trip around the world in 80 days. Whereas sometimes when you were asked to go and make an appearance at a nightclub up in the Midlands, you know, you might be sent to the wrong hotel or given a taxi at the wrong time. So logistics has been the main pain. There have been a few times also when I've been doing a lot of things, but some of the things I've really enjoyed doing, made a couple of TV appearances, went on Dick and Dom's Bungalow, which was on the Saturday about 6 weeks ago.
How was the custard?
The custard was, they like to call it Muck Muck, that's a brand. That was great fun, got completely covered, and I think I was quite proactive in throwing Muck Muck around on other people, especially the presenters.
Yeah, we did notice that you seemed to be enjoying yourself with that. What about the flying? You kept in the Big Brother house talking with Derek about doing the flying and all that kind of stuff, and some people didn't even believe that you were learning to fly, but I think it's going to be shown on the telly fairly soon, one of your flying lessons.
That's right, yeah. I mean, learning to fly up in Red Hill, a place called Cub Air, and I've been doing that since about January. The only problem was, going away for 3 months, I was just halfway through revising meteorology, and then I had to stop because I had the house in Red Hill books. But no, that's starting to come again quite well. Unfortunately, it is a bit weather dependent, such as today, where I've got a lesson at about 3 o'clock, and at the moment it's a little bit variable, but it is looking better, so hopefully I'll be able to go up and pop down to old Hailsham, turn round, go up to Maidstone, come back to Red Hill.
Okay, and have you had, whilst you've been out and about doing your various celebrity bits, have you met anybody famous that you've been really impressed about having the opportunity to meet?
Met Dermot O'Leary, Davina.
Oh, the old TV awards.
Oh, yeah, the old TV awards. Who else have I met? I haven't actually met that many. I've met Dick and Dom. I've met Dan Corbett. Now, Dan Corbett, now he's the weatherman on News 24. Sometimes there's BBC when they want through talent, and he's very, very funny. He's the creative one who says, "Beautiful weather today. Look at this, 23, 24. Maybe go down to the beach. Don't worry, take the day off work. I won't tell the boss if you do. But look at this band of cloud moving in. Going to bring rain, perhaps pack a brolly, perhaps take the train instead of walking." Met him. Also appeared on BBC Three News. So, you know, lots of good fun. Oh, and on Blue Peter as well. Don't be blue, Peter.
Very good. Now, one last thing that I was going to bring up with you. Have you had any trouble from the old obsessive fans?
I've had a couple of obsessive fans. I was at the Bonfire Carnival, that's it.
That's the one.
And at the end of it, this girl grabbed me by the arm and wouldn't let go, and eventually I had this big bruise up my arm. But on the whole, it's been very good. You get a lot of people when you do these things. You get a lot of people coming up screaming with their mobile telephones taking photographs, and that all went quite well. It's quite overpowering sometimes, but it's all right. So I was at a nightclub in Red Hill that I went to socially and got completely mobbed and eventually left. But no, on the whole, it's good fun. And, you know, it's the only annoying one is when you're in a shopping centre and people come up and you've got, like, a parking ticket. And, you know, especially with parking wardens, you know, going around slapping tickets on people who, you know, are overdue by 1 minute and things like that. You know, you unfortunately have to say, look, I've got to go to sometimes when you've got to get back to your car.
Very good. Now, I did say that was finally. Finally, what do you think you're going to be doing next, over the next few months, over Christmas and into the new year?
I'm not sure. I'm hoping to keep the old celeb stuff going. Not that I consider myself a celebrity. I've got a debate at the Oxford Union to do on the 10th. That should be good fun. The debate is surprise, surprise. Has celebrity status gone too far? Well, clearly it has. I mean, you know, you get all these people who go on contests and end up being so-called celebrities, of which I'm one. But I've got that. Going on a sun holiday on the 21st with some friends. That's in a caravan park up in Wales. We're also going to be doing... I'm appearing on Eggheads, along with yourself, Steve.
We less said about that the best, I think, on the 5th of December, I think that is.
On the 5th of December?
Yes. Well, we did manage to lose absolutely miserably, didn't we?
Yes, but then again, we were up against the top eggheads in the country.
In the country, so yes, that's coming up. So if you want to see me on that, and usually together with a few other people, and your father as well.
My father as well, who looks like a mad scientist, because his hair, he's got bald on top, got fluffy hair around the sides, and he wears a silly beret cap.
That's Eugene's father, keep an eye out for that. And so you're just generally going to be about getting as much exposure as possible in a real media hallway.
That's right, yeah, getting as much exposure as possible.
Very good. Thank you very much, Eugene. Eugene's going to be here until 1 o'clock. We've only got 25 minutes of the show left. We've got our Halloween ghost story going to be giving you that just before 1 o'clock today. And also, I'll be telling you all about Fole Bonfire, which happened on Saturday in, of all places, Fole. Been a bit controversial in the past, but I think this year they managed to get away with it. That's all coming up here on 87.8 Rocket FM. The Specials and Ghost Town here on 87.8 Rocket FM. Lewis, you okay over there, Eugene?
Yeah, very well.
Eugene's been planning his flight. He's had the charts out in here and everything. I've never, ever, in all the radio shows that I've ever done, had that particular thing happen before, I don't think.
You see, I've got a listener. Was that you?
That was me, yes. Whistling away there.
I'm learning to fly. But on Friday I had a flying lesson. Well, actually I didn't have a ground lesson because I wasn't able to get up into the air. And looking at the moment, it doesn't look like I'm going to today. But I was looking and there was some like scattered cloud at 700 feet and then broken cloud, which means there's more cloud, about 2,500 feet. So it's the one at 700 that's the problem.
It's a bit of a cloud sandwich.
That's right. And the problem is I've got to go and get to the... early to go and plan this properly, because you need the weather that's quite current, so you can't like plan it 2 or 3 hours earlier and then expect to still be valid. We've got to disappear off straight after the show instead of going for dinner with you, and then I'll probably find that the clouds decide to come down to ground level.
I should actually say that we did enjoy in the riverside, upstairs at the riverside on Friday afternoon, we did enjoy a very tasty jacket potato, which was rather nice, and the staff were very keen to get your autograph, but I think we did upset a few of the locals, including one man who had his glass explode on the table in front of him.
Well, the reason I found it so funny was, of course, this was the second time it happened, because earlier somebody else had knocked over some milk.
So, yeah, there's no point crying over the spilt milk, but this guy wasn't very impressed that we seemed to find it funny that that his drink was flying everywhere and there was broken glass all over the table. And I don't think the matter was helped further when, rather than assisting him, one of the staff didn't obviously realise that this poor gentleman was in a spot of bother, and... yes, calm down, Eugene. The member of staff came up and said to us on the table next to him, this angry man going, "Well, are you sure you don't want to laugh some more? Excuse me, can I have your autograph, please?"
Needless to say, we could see where their priorities lie.
We had an absolutely great lunch. The biggest jacket potato that I think...
I did feel quite bloated afterwards, actually.
Yeah, the biggest jacket potato in the history of jacket potatoes, that was at the Riverside.
It was like a jacket potato with a jacket on.
It was indeed. One thing I must say, actually, is I went to Firle on Saturday night. You went to Littlehampton, I believe.
That's right, yep.
And I had a blooming good time at Firle. There was a good crowd outside the ramp. It was a bit of a shock when we turned up and found it was £5 for the car park.
That old trick. I'll tell you who's probably running that car park.
I don't think it was the NCP, actually. I think it was the Bonfire Society. But it was great. Went up to the church for the wreath laying, and then back to the ram again. There was a great Guy Fawkes set piece in the... sort of, it's almost like the village square outside the ram. And the fire was lit. There was a great big sign saying Fall 2005. The clergy were all there. They had a huge, great big HMS Victory that they were wheeling through the streets, which they proceeded to blow up and had the cannons going off on it and everything.
Really?
That was really
fantastic.
They also had Nelson's Column in the field as well, which went off. And then they had a great big Union flag, which was made up of fireworks that all went off, and that was wonderful. And then they were playing Rule Britannia. We all thought it had all finished, but then all of a sudden they started this aerial display, which was rather impressive as well. And they didn't skimp on the mortars, and the ground was shaking, great big plumes of smoke and everything. So yeah, we had a really great time over there. And the food wasn't bad, actually. It was only £2.50 for either a huge hot dog or a huge burger, and for a bucket of coffee, just 50 pence.
Absolutely excellent.
Which we thought was a bit more of a bargain than the traders that you usually get at Lewis on November the 5th. There's great as well the fact that because it's in the middle of nowhere, there's no buses, no trains, all that, there were no chavs. Because obviously there wasn't enough petrol in the Fiesta to get them as far as Fall, which was rather good. And the only bad thing, I think, was, well, that's quite amusing, poor old Mark, who gave me a lift, his car looked like something off the National Geographic Channel on a programme about Pompeii, because it was downwind of the bonfire where we parked, and
you see,
covered in ash.
It should have, instead of having it downwind, he should have been up Pompeii.
Well, indeed. Humour supplied by Eugene. So, yes, all in all, a good evening was had by everyone that was there. Came back smelling of all the right things, smoke, paraffin, burgers and mud. So that was rather great. That was down at Firle. And, of course, you're going to be marching with Borough.
That's right, I'm marching with Borough.
So that's going to be good. So, yeah. Okie dokie, you're going to be here tomorrow, Eugene?
I am going to be here tomorrow.
Okay, Eugene's going to be back here tomorrow, as announced about 3 seconds ago. Derek Watts, he's got Eric Clapton in with him this afternoon. Well, not in with him, but he's interviewed Eric Clapton, I believe. Is that the correct thing to say?
Yes, 2:30 every day this week. Excerpts from my interview with Eric starting this afternoon.
You got in the paper with that, didn't you? You got in the paper with Eric Clapton. Eugene got in the same article, but without my name being mentioned.
Well, how bad is that?
That's terrible. So you got a mention, Eric Clapton got a mention, Eugene got a mention. Did I get a mention? Donk. Sorry about that. Did I get a mention? No, I didn't.
The good thing about Eric Clapton is I love it just the way he is.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Eugene. Okie dokie. Well, Derek Watts, he's going to be here after 1 o'clock on 87.8 Rocket FM, and I'll leave you with a Donald Fagan.